It's always nice to be in the house of the Lord on the first day of the week, and also the first. This is another month. We have gone into a new month, and how thankful we are that He has made it possible for us, as a people that are called by His name, to come together and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I think that the choruses that we have been singing have so much to do with what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to be talking about Jesus. And I would have loved to sing a song, "Let's Talk About Jesus," but I won't sing this day because you know my voice is not as once upon a time. But I'll tell you the topic of the message this evening is "Let's Talk About Jesus." The song says, "Let's talk about Jesus, for He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the light, the door. Let's talk about Jesus every day. Praise His wonderful name." That might be a new chorus to some of you, but I've been singing that from down in the 50s. And I still love to sing it because it's very ideal for this morning. Let's talk about Jesus. That's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be talking about Him, for He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus every day, every day. This is wonderful news. We hear His name, the name of Jesus, in different forms. We hear it in music, we hear it in swear words. We have today, people are always cursed and using the name of Jesus. But then, friends, they have forgotten to have reverence for the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Today, we are going to be talking about Jesus because He's our Savior. He's the Son of God, our Savior, and He's also the soon coming King. And we must know about Him. And then Isaiah, the Messianic prophet, took a lot of time to tell us about Jesus. So those of us who don't know about Him and know that He has many, many names, if you go to the book of Isaiah, the Messianic prophet, he will tell you all the beautiful things about Jesus, what He came to earth to do, and He did the job that His Father had sent Him to do. And when He had finished, this is what He said, "It is finished." He was faithful in doing the work that His Heavenly Father had sent Him. And so today, friends, we are going to learn about Jesus because He has many, many names. And some of them we don't know them. Some of them we don't remember. And we're going to just refresh our memory a little bit. And I would encourage you, friends, to spend some time in the book of Isaiah, who is called the Messianic prophet. He tells us all about Jesus, the good things and the sad things. And, He gives us a song within our heart at all times. And so today, that's what the message is all about. Knowing about Jesus. His wonderful name. The name that I'm going to just tell you a few of them, and I'm going to encourage you to go to the book of Isaiah if you want to know more about the names of Jesus. And I won't quote all the scriptures because we are against time. We have to spend time go through this portion of scripture today. And so I must encourage you, friends, those of you who have your Bibles with you, to let us go back to the scripture reading that we have just heard a while ago. Isaiah chapter 61, this is what the Word of God says: the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek.
Yes.
Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, oh, so many we have today, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open up prison to him that are bound.
Yes.
I'm going to stop here. There is a lot that is being said about Jesus, and I'm going to take you back to the Old Testament quickly. Remember in Genesis, the Bible tells us that God called upon Abraham to offer his son, his only son, as a sacrifice. What he was being described as a lamb. He should take his son as a lamb to offer him as a sacrifice. But then quickly, God said to Abraham, just as he was about to offer his son Isaac, he said that he should not kill his son. And the Word of God tells us here, God will provide a lamb. Praise one's name.
Yeah.
Think of that.
Yeah.
We're calling the Son of God from Genesis, this being described as a lamb. Then we notice, friends, he continued to grow up as a youngster, and they saw him as a carpenter. But then he grew up and continued, and he then heard the message that we have just read: the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach tidings unto the meek. Jesus came as a lamb. The Word of God tells us that the wise men came and they were asking, where is he that is born King of the Jews? They brought gifts for him.
Yes.
But then, friends, later on, we notice that he grew up, not just as a babe in a manger, not just a youngster walking along with the other youngsters, but then he was concerned about the job that his Father, God, our Heavenly Father, and his Father, the Eternal Father, gave him to do. And that was to come and preach. And that portion of scripture I like so much. The Word of God tells us in John chapter 1, that Jesus is called the Lamb of God. Yes. We today are so saddened, one, because many in our world today don't know the name of the Savior of the world. They don't know his name. They don't know that he is the Son of God, and that he also came that we can have everlasting life if we only embrace him as the Lamb of God who died, that we can have everlasting life. Today, it is very sad. You know that, and I start from the children, they don't know who Jesus is. We find that many parents don't know who Jesus is, because some have never been to church, some have never spent time to read the Bible. The children, some of them don't know the Bible, and some of them don't even know how to pray and whom to pray to. But today, when we are through, we are going to be talking about the different names of Jesus. Yes, he has many, many names. He's called the way, he's called the truth, and he's called the life. We find this in John chapter 14, we find it in verse 6, that he's called the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, friends, he's called the good shepherd. This is wonderful. I like that. He cares for the sheep. Also the light of the world, and also the bread of life. This one we find it in Matthew, where he's called Emmanuel, and also in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, he's called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Praise his wonderful name. God is always with us. The Word of God tells us, friends, that he has eyes to see, and he can always see the entire world. That's one of the things that is good news, but it's also frightening, because so often we do things and think people are not seeing. But I have news for you this morning that the God that created the heavens and the earth, and he is eternal, he sees all things.
Amen. Amen.
And we want you to know, friends, that he is able to see everyone. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. Yes, God, our Heavenly Father, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is interested in all men, men, women, boys, and girls. Praise his name. I'll move on to some of the name again. And he's called Savior. He's called Wonderful Counselor. He's called a Mighty God. He's called the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Word. Oh, and that we ought to become acquainted with. He's called the Word in John 1, verse 1. He's also called Lord. In Matthew chapter 8, and verse 8, he tells us this. And this one, I want you to make note of that. He's called the Son of Man. Jesus' name. Yes. That is in Mark chapter 2. We're going to look at that also. And he's called the Son of God in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. And he's also called God as well. Yes. Today, friends, the reason for going through all this is because you'll be surprised to know that many of us who are called children of God, sons and daughters of God, and we have many names given to us. We are called the church. We are called ambassadors. Yes, we are called the temple of God. And we don't know all these names, but I'll give you news today. If you go to the book of Isaiah and go through all these pages, you'll hear the wonderful names that is given to Jesus. All right, let me take you also to back there. We just read earlier on in Isaiah chapter 61. Listen what Isaiah had to say about Jesus. But he shall be called, but his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. We shall call him many names, but I like the one Prince of Peace. This world today is seeking, and some are not seeking, but are trying to find peace in all different ways in life. But I want you to know, friends, that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is offering you the peace that passes all understanding today. And how important it is for us to try and find the Prince of Peace. He's not only the Prince of Peace, but he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the word of God goes on to say that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we must go through Jesus at all times. Yes, the song says, I must have Jesus in my whole life, in my walking, in my talking. Yes, we must talk about Jesus. But what was happening, friends, with in the book of Isaiah, is that the prophet Isaiah was becoming careless with the ministry that God had given to him, because he was taken up with some two or three kings that were reigning at the time, and not preaching and teaching the word of God. And we find this is happening also today, in this 21st century. We find that many, many who are called children of God, many who are called servants of God, many are not lifting up the name of Jesus. We are called light of the world. Jesus speaking to the vast multitude in Matthew. The word of God says here, friends, that he says, you who are followers of Christ, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Yes.
Brethren, if Christ is living in us any at all, then his light needs to be projected in us. We ought to be seeing the light of Christ in our lives to point others that are walking in darkness. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he appointed me to preach good tidings unto the weak. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to the opening of the sight prison to them that are bound. So many today are gone. So many are in prison. So many are sad and discouraged. But I want you, friends, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ came to set men free. To set you free from whatever bondage you are in today. Would you listen to what Isaiah went on to say? But he shall be named the Prince of Peace of the Lord.
Yes.
Men shall call you the minister of our God.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord our God, the Almighty reign.
Yes.
Is the Lord. Friends, we have experienced some technical difficulty with Pastor Fiani. Pastor Henry, take over.
Bless the Lord. We are hoping that we will get back our pastor to continue or to finish his message. But it's a very interesting line that Pastor has started, and it is important for us that we really understand what the Bible is saying to us. And this is the prophetical utterance of God's servant speaking to Jesus, speaking about Jesus who would come later on. And as he described here, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of prison to them that are bound. What a line this prophet started out with here. Because if you remember what is said there in St. Luke chapter 4, Jesus came and Jesus read this very passage in the tabernacle, in the temple, as was recorded about him hundreds of years before through this prophet Isaiah, that the time was going to come when the Son of God would fulfill these very words that was spoken here by God's servant. And we have seen it. We have seen it in the New Testament. We have seen where Jesus came, and Jesus take on the responsibility. It is so interesting that maybe we should even take a look at it, because the Word of God speaks to truth at all times. And I want to just show you the similarity of the reading here. St. Luke chapter 4, if you have your Bible, just please turn there. Because it is important for us to see how the Bible speaks and truth at all times in regards to God's servant. Verse 18, St. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Look on the similarity of the reading. Verse 18 said, the Spirit of the Lord, this is Jesus. This is Jesus reading. As he was delivered a book in the synagogue, and he stood up to read, and he found the place. It is interesting to know that he found the place where it was written. And he opened the book and he read from verse 18 that says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 19. Similar reading to what is here in the first verse of Isaiah chapter 61. The time has come when this person, who the prophet prophesied about, the time came when he took on the responsibility that was spoken of him. And as he took on that responsibility, we have discovered that in that responsibility, he has touched many lives. Jesus has touched many lives in the things that were prophesied about him. Because when we look on what Jesus said here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. If you remember the first sermon that he preached, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, when he opened his mouth and he taught his disciples, and he went through a series of blessings. He went through a series of blessings when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall... He has arrived. Jesus was saying, the person who Isaiah had prophesied about, he has arrived in the person of me, Jesus. And he is speaking now in his first sermon. And he's declaring to everyone what he has come to do and what the kingdom is about to offer them. And it is so interesting in this passage, because he went on to say in Matthew chapter 5 that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor, the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And he went on to declare all these blessings, because he who Isaiah prophesied about has arrived. Has arrived. And as we see here in St. Luke, he declared that his mission is come to preach the gospel to the poor. And right here we're talking about, when we talk about poor, it does not necessarily mean poor in pocket, even though that is a part of the whole process. But we are talking about poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If you're poor in spirit, Jesus has come to bring the richness of the gospel to you and to me, and to give us a lift in our spirit, to declare us rich in the presence of God. Hallelujah. The poor man has arrived. The poor man, Savior, has arrived. The poor man's hope has arrived. Isaiah prophesied about him long ago. He is here. He is come to preach the gospel to the poor. And many of us back away from the thought of being poor. And of course, in an America today, where there are so much pride and arrogance that are taking place around us, one would understand why one would not want to identify as being poor. But Jesus said, if you are poor in spirit, there is the kingdom of heaven for you. And in the kingdom of heaven, it produces so much richness that you no longer remain poor. Yes, you might not even be able to pay your bills. But in the scheme of things, as far as heavenly riches is concerned, you are rich because Jesus has come to give you the level of riches that is in the kingdom of heaven. Bless the Lord. Isaiah said that he would come, and he is here, and he is carrying with him all the necessary requisites that can transform our lives and make us different and better persons as we go through this life. And not only he spoke about the poor, but he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There are many brokenhearted around, many brokenhearted, but Jesus is the healer of that broken heart. Jesus is the healer of that broken heart. There are many people who cannot be comforted, not even by a friend, because of the state that they find themselves in. Not willingly, not something that they have done to cause these things to happen. So they can't even be comforted by a friend. But hallelujah, hallelujah, when you go into the word of God and when you hear what Jesus has said in regards to you and me and how he promised to comfort us, when we read his word, we find comfort, we find deliverance, we find peace. Yes. Hallelujah, because he will help us in time of need to get over our trials. I know that there are heartaches out there. I know that there are headaches out there. But Isaiah said a man would come I exalted a man would come, and blessed be the name of the Lord, he has come, and he's here with us. He's wrapping his arms around us to comfort us in our time of struggle and our time of trial. Not only that, but he has come to bring deliverance to the captive. Captives. Many are captives of drugs. Many are captive of illicit sex. Many are captive of sin that the Bible speaks against. Homosexuality, drunkenness, reveling, all of these things, there are many people who are caught up and they are in the clutches of these things. The word said that Jesus has come that he might bring deliverance to these captives. Captive in the pangs of sin. Who needs deliverance? Jesus is a liberator. Jesus is God, has come that we might be liberated from these bondage of corruption and bondage of sin, so that we can maintain a clean and a pure conscience before God. And that is the essence of his word. He speaks deliverance. He goes to the heart of the problem. He delivers from inside out so that we can be called children of God who are delivered from the power of darkness. Yes, the Bible said we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And that is what Jesus came to do, that we might be transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Isaiah saw it long ago, where Jesus would say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, like what Isaiah said. And when Jesus was finished, he closed the book and he said, this day, this scripture has fulfilled. Because the man to whom Isaiah was speaking has arrived, and I am that person. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus has come. Jesus has been manifested within the fullness of time. He has come, and he is bringing deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind. Jesus went about restoring people's sight during his time. Many people who were blind, Jesus healed them. There is one particular person that he came across, and they want to trap Jesus, ask him, Master, who did sin that this man was born blind? Was his parents the sinner that caused it? Or was he the person who caused himself to be born blind? And Jesus answered and said, neither was the parents nor him who caused this blindness, but that God be glorified. Hallelujah. Right there, Jesus manifests his power and healed that blind man so that he was able to see again. Sin trapped all of us, but Jesus has come to give us another chance. It is not so much that we have created some of these things in ourselves, but we have inherited some of these things from our forefathers.
But Jesus the great liberator, Jesus the great sin bearer, Jesus, hallelujah, the man at Calvary, whom God has appointed to take away the sins of the world. He has come, and he has blended himself among men, and he has shown us that there is a better way, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me he declares. The man has arrived that Isaiah spoke about. And he has arrived to take away your sin and to take away my sin and to declare us righteous and holy before God. We want to give him praise. Can I hear somebody say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Isaiah chapter 61 went on in verse 2 to say, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Now, let me just show you something here that is very important for all of us to see. In this verse 2 here, Isaiah went on to say, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And he went on from there to say, to give unto, no, and the day of vengeance of our God. Isaiah went on to say that in verse 2. But listen to what Jesus said here in verse 19 of St. Luke chapter 4. Listen to what he said. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, full stop. Not like what Isaiah said here. Isaiah said in verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, and the day of vengeance of our God. That is what Isaiah said there. But over here, Jesus reading to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, full stop. And he did not say anything about vengeance of our God. Because he has not come to create judgment. Jesus has not come into the world to create judgment. In fact, if you read what St. John said here, St. John chapter 3, let me go there and show you something here. St. John 3 verse 17. Listen to what St. John 3 verse 17 says. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Isaiah said here in Isaiah 61 verse 2, and the day of vengeance of our God. Over here, I repeat again, in St. Luke chapter 4, as Jesus was reading this passage, Jesus stopped at where he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, because that is his mission. Not to create vengeance, but to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It is a time of grace. It is a time of mercy. It is a time of forgiveness. Jesus came to introduce. The time of vengeance is going to come. But Jesus' second coming, this part of Isaiah prophecy will be fulfilled. But the first coming of the Lord speaks to the first part of this verse 2 that declares to us He has come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He has come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Another time of vengeance. The time of vengeance is later on. The second half of Isaiah prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. When Jesus returns, it will be a time of vengeance for those who have rejected the proclamation of the gospel for the acceptable year of the Lord. And when we are talking about the acceptable year of the Lord, we are not talking about a 12-month system. We are talking about the entire period from Jesus start preaching the gospel until now and beyond. It is considered the acceptable year of the Lord. And I'm saying to all of us here in the church today, let's use this window of opportunity to get ourselves right. Let's use this proclamation that Jesus read inside the church to get ourselves right and to be identified with him and to give him the glory and to give him the honor that is due unto him.
Amen.
I trust that today all of us have seen the true mission for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When he got up to read that passage inside of the temple, and he found the place where it was written, as Pastor Fiani was ministering from Isaiah 61, he told them that today this passage is fulfilled in your ears. And the last time that I was ministering to you, you remember, I said after he was finished reading this passage, all eyes in the synagogue were fastened on him, as if to say, where did this man come from? This man is somebody that we know grew up in our community. And all of a sudden, he has this tremendous authority as he read the scripture. But hey, the time has come when the fulfillment of the gospel was being done in the presence of all of them. Jesus started his ministry as he embarked on the acceptable year of the Lord, to which you and I have enjoyed, in which you and I have got saved, in which we can embrace the Savior and give him thanks for what he has done for us. I trust that today as we consider these two passages of Scripture, where Isaiah prophesied about his coming and where he read the Scripture confirming his coming, I trust that we will find that the word of the Lord is true. Whatever Jesus, the Lord said that is going to happen, will happen. And we will not be found wanting because we have adjusted ourselves to what the scripture said, and we have found Jesus in the meantime. So I trust today that you who are here will find peace in your heart, because the Prince of Peace has come. You will find joy in your heart because he brings joy to the table. You will find relief in your heart because he has come that he might address all of these problems that you and I have. And most of all, the preaching of the acceptable year, you and I found salvation through Jesus.
Amen.
I
trust that we are blessed in the presence of the Lord. And we will continue to give him the glory and the praise that is due to him.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Bless the Lord. Amen.